Oh man, I'm so delighted to have you join me on Hammered Out on the Market Scale Network. To Vanessa's point, my name is Mike Bush. I'm the host of this year's podcast, and today we're talking to a company that, on their website, there's a lot of acronyms, but they're doing some amazingly cool things, and I cannot wait to get into it. Let's start with number one. Tell me a little bit about ODEX, man.
All right, so it's difficult to explain it in like one sentence, so I will attempt it in a few sentences. So what do we do is that
Sure.
we try to connect multiple stakeholders in the industry. So you have your ocean carriers on one side, you have your port terminals on the other side, you have a whole bunch of agents, brokers, people who are handling the cargo on the third side, and then you have the actual buyers and sellers who are there. So essentially, one of the analogies that I like to speak about is that as an exporter, you produce something, you put it in a box, and then you push it into a black hole, and it magically emerges on the other side of the black hole with a whole lot of like 20, 30 organizations touching it at different points, depending on where you're shipping it from. So it's a chaos which works beautifully, which got disrupted during COVID, and that's when everybody realized that what shipping is all about. What we try to do is that we try to bring all these people onto a single platform where they can communicate with each other. Like, for example, hey, my shipment is supposed to be delivered at the port. Is there a possibility that you can do the trucking? Ocean carrier can do the trucking and bring it all the way to my warehouse. It was not in the original contract, but can you do that? So that's a message. Today, the message is sent in 50 different ways or 500 different ways. We try to unify that and
Got it.
say a little bit of the chaos, bring it together. So that's what we do in a nutshell, and a lot more, as you said, the acronyms on
Sure.
the website. The acronyms on the
No,
website say
of course,
that.
So I'm going to take a step back and make sure I've got it right. So when I create goods, let's say in Asia, those goods are then put into a container, which is put onto a truck, potentially two other companies. They're then moved to the port where they go through a terminal. They're put onto a vessel. So that's three more companies.
That's right.
You lose them over the sea. They eventually show up here in LA Long Beach, where they go through, and this is actually one of my favorite stories in the world. I can't believe this is a real job, where the boat pulls in near the harbor. We send out a valet parking guy who
Absolutely.
goes, and his job, the pilot, is to actually go and navigate a boat or a vessel with 25,000 containers into the terminal,
Yeah.
where of course it goes through customs. So there's three more companies that have to touch it
That's right.
before a trucker shows up to pick up goods, bring them to the warehouse. And along that way, everybody is basically disincentivized to share information such as location or updates, et cetera, et cetera. And
Absolutely.
that's what you're solving. Do I have it
That's
right?
yes, that's perfect. Thank you so much. I'm going to borrow that, probably write it down somewhere. The next time for a pitch, I'm going to use that.
It's funny. In a previous life, we did an infographic of all the sets of hands. And when you said 20 or 30, I had to laugh because we had come up with 14 definite, and then
Okay.
there were up to like 15 extra potential, depending on, what level of freight broker, freight forwarder, and broker and trucker were involved. So, okay, we've got a platform.
Yes.
Let's walk through this. I mean, I love the concept initially. How did you get started? What was the sort of genesis for this? And more importantly, how are customers, or how is the ecosystem really thinking about you guys?
So starting was simple. Me and my co-founder, Liji, who's also our CEO, Liji Dhowal. So we had zero background about shipping. We did not know what a bill of lading was. We have been in the software business, and Liji has been a management consultant for some time. So yeah, so the good thing is about these jobs is that you keep learning all the time. Otherwise, you're quickly outdated. So we, as a pure software organization, we landed a contract to build a system, and that's how we got our first taste of shipping. What happened is that this was way back in 2014, about 10 years back in India. And one of our mentors said that, hey, you have an opportunity that to build something which is not a product, but for the community. So we were like, how does that work? So the word platform was still relatively a little bit new a word, and especially in shipping, platform meant something else. You know, it could mean something right. that you use to suck out oil from the ocean. So that's that's what a platform means. So
I was going to say it was an old school legacy technology that lived on a server someplace and connected to a green screen. But yeah.
but it was like when we started off, like even though it's just 10 years back, I felt that shipping was, especially on the software digitization journey, it was like still stuck probably in late 90s or early 2000. That's where I would like to map it out. There were a lot of cool initiatives happening, but everything was still in the oven. There was nothing out there in the open, which was catching up with Facebook of that time. Insta was not yet out. What happened is that these words stuck, and we said, okay, what is one industry problem that we can solve? So this was way back in when we started off in India. And one of the problems that they used to face is that when a container is imported, it lands, it is taken out of the port terminal. And because in India and most of the developing world, the port terminals do not have enough space. So they are sent to these buffer yards outside the port. Now, the problem is the custom clearance happens in the buffer yard. And me as an importer or the agent of the importer need to know which buffer yard it reached. And this information was, again, a black hole, because if you're late, then the charges at the buffer yard keep increasing. And this was a need from the community saying, can you bring visibility in this leg so that we can start custom clearance on time and we can then save a few bucks on the container in terms of charges that are accrued, etc. So that was our very first project. How it started is that in Mumbai, on the west coast of India, the largest port in India, actually, there are about 31 buffer yards. So we went to each of them, begged, please give us this data, please give us the gate and data. And that was the first cut of the portal. From there, it kind of picked up, and then we got into port gate passes, we got into invoice distribution, we got into payments, the whole B2B payment cycle. We had a big learning curve over there. We got into the final approval process or the workflow process for issuing a delivery order or a release order for the import containers and many, many other stuff. So one of the things that we realized is that in this industry, if you see, unlike any other industry, the vendor is king over here, which means an ocean carrier is pretty much king, because the customers go and beg the ocean carrier to give an invoice which is accurate and which can be paid in full to get the container. And I'm like, what kind of business is this? How can I, you know, can I go and borrow some money and buy a ship or something and do this? And I realized, no, you need like a few $100 billion to be able to do this. So I said, okay, maybe go back to making software. That's what I do best. So then we realized that the problem is that on the other side, the ocean carriers have a problem, that on the import leg, I don't know who's going to come and pick up the container. I know the exporter, I know the importer, I don't know the agent. So I don't know who is going to pay the invoice, which means that I don't know whom to send the invoice to. So that was a big black hole of a problem in most parts of the world. So we attempted to solve it in India. I think we tasted our initial success very quickly. More than 50% of all the import invoices in India for ocean carriers started getting released on Odix. And then we said that, hey, okay, India is a big complex country. We are a complex race. Does this problem exist in the other parts of the world? And that's how we made our move out of India. The first country was UAE, and then we moved on to Africa. Ghana and West Africa was our first country where we said that the invoice distribution, the payment collection part of it, real-time B2B payments, and this third part is to be able to release a document basis these two interactions happening quickly. That is something that we want to focus on, and we built that. So today, we have been able to roll this out into 14 countries and counting. So we are on our way to, you know, reaching a target of about 20 countries by the end of this year. Yeah.
Got it. So a couple of things you said there that I want to touch on. You said customers are begging for accurate invoices. And I think a lot of folks that don't come from the industry don't realize how how much that is a heavy, heavy lift. I know in the trucking space, the number I've seen thrown around is that roughly one in three invoices is inaccurate.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know Alan Murphy over at C-Intelligence, but yeah. 1 year C-Intelligence hosted what they called the TLA Awards. It was three-letter acronym awards. This is one of my favorite stories in freight. Where C-Intelligence, this analyst firm, audited a bunch of invoices from various steamship lines and carriers, and they would see a three-letter acronym and say, okay, what the hell is that for? And they would call the steamship, or they'd call somebody and say, hey, can you explain this bill? What is this line item? And they actually recognized, they gave a formal award to one of the steamship lines, because that steamship line had more than a dozen billing mechanisms, a dozen Absolutely. Different fees that nobody in the steamship line could justify. It was like, sure, I mean, that's the they were making up words or whatever it might be. And it's amazing to me, as you're explaining it, like coming from the outside, you're like, this can't be real.
Exactly. Yeah. It's mind blowing that when it seems so simple that you are able to buy some things from China by click of a button, but the moment you load it onto a ocean container, everything changes. And then you have like 50 different people quickly. The main problem is that you budgeted for 5% logistics cost. It can go to like 25% if you're not on the, you know, on the dot, and you don't have the right set of partners. The problem is the problem is the right set of partners, because you have no other way of visibility. So that's what we're trying to bring in, where we're saying that, hey, you can do this on your own. You need the partners, definitely. You can't do away with the partners, or you don't want to do away, because they bring in, they add a lot of value to the whole supply chain. But then at the same time, as a customer, I just want to know what's happening, and as simple as that. So that's what we're trying to do. Yeah.
Sure. Now, one of the things is, you're talking about visibility. You know, I think large organizations, and really almost every organization, has kind of their own version of visibility nirvana, mm-hmm. right? Like some companies have a group of analysts that they want to punish, and they have them stare at that screen all day long, and they watch, you know, ships move across the ocean and boats move across, or trucks move across the screen. Some companies are, you know, give me a dashboard with red, yellow, green. Some companies are like, listen, as long as things are where they're supposed to be, I don't really care. I only want to hear from me when something's wrong. By the way, those are my nightmare clients, because to only pick up the phone when something's wrong is no good. So
yeah.
Finding ways to say happy birthday or whatever I stalk you on Facebook is really important to me. You know, can you kind of talk to that within the ODEX circumstance, or in the ODEX environment? How are you providing the right level of visibility for each of your customers?
So for example, the invoice example that you mentioned about. So our idea is that to be able to get the invoice to the right party in the right format on the right platform. Why I say the right platform is because I don't want you to look at another screen with my colors of orange and blue and white, etc. I want that invoice to be available inside your ERP. So it's my job to go fetch it from the ocean carriers and then push it into your ERP, so that you have it on a screen which is familiar. You know what to do with it. You know what your internal workflow is going to be after that. And then you can create a payment and then send me that information about the payment. And I will tell the ocean carrier that, hey, XYZ has paid this invoice and I think it has hit your bank. So it's good to release the cargo. The one point that I would like to bring in over here is that as much as the customers are suffering, the ocean carriers are also suffering on the other side, because there is a lot of focus on picking up the container, but when it comes to, when it sails for like 30 days and when it reaches destination, they have very poor visibility on who is going to come and pick it up. That's one. Second is that the person who came to pick up a container today may never ever show up again to pick up another container. So which means you're suddenly talking to a very large audience whom you do not know. You cannot predict their behavior to a large extent, and you don't know how to even, you know, train them to be able to follow a process. So that's a bigger challenge when it comes to the ocean carriers, and that's why they drop the ball a lot of times. And the mess also starts snowballing on their side, which means that Mike comes and says that, hey, the invoice said $1,000, I paid $1,000. But then they say, oh, you know what, it was actually $1,200 because there were two invoices and you paid only one. And then there's a fight. And then Mike says, I want my container, I don't care. And what happens to this $1,000 is that it sits somewhere in their books as unallocated, you know, suspense or whatever you want to call it. And with these ocean carriers moving millions of containers, that can blow up like crazy. It's a huge risk as a business owner on the balance sheet. It's a lot of manual analyst work to sit and reconcile this whole thing. All of this ultimately affects the customer, saying that they don't get their cargo on time. So it affects both sides. And that is where Odex is trying to come in and say, this whole communication, to be able to say, I want the invoice. Okay, I get the invoice. I paid the invoice. Thank you very much. Here is your release. Now you can go to the terminal. Terminal, hey, this is the release. Now this person will come and pick up the cargo. To be able to just close this loop, we are trying to bring all of them onto the same platform and say, interact over here. And our vision is not that you interact on my platform, you interact in your ERP, and I will take the message and pass it around to the right set of people. So that's what we're trying to build. It's a little bit like behind the scenes connectivity, but it's a long way. So that's why I would say that we still have a good 10 years to go before we reach, you know, wherever we want to reach. But yeah, but somebody has to do it. And fortunately or unfortunately, we were the ones who decided to roll up our sleeves and say, we'll attempt to do this, maybe. Yeah.
Got it. Now, one hidden challenge that you haven't touched on quite yet, but I suspect probably keeps you up at night, and I might be wrong on this, is that every shipper, every steamship line, they all have their own preferred way of communicating. Every trucking
Absolutely.
Company is the same.
Absolutely.
So you're going to run into, in the trucking space, you've got various TMS solutions, you Absolutely. Know, transportation management systems. In, you know, billing, you've got a whole lot of other approaches. In direct orders or delivery orders, you've got a whole other set of approaches.
Absolutely.
Are you basically sitting between a whole lot of APIs, a whole lot of EDI, and kind of serving as a universal translator? Is that the easiest way to think about what you've built here, or an actionable universal translator?
That's yeah, I would say pretty much sums it up. So when it comes to APIs and all of these interactions, actually, a lot of the standards exist. So if you see an invoice, there is a IFT FCC standard which exists for an invoice. So there's a standard which is all, and most of the large ocean carriers actually implement this EDI standard. And if you want to get the invoice, it's available in that standard. But then it's every standard is implemented in their own way. You know? So it's not one size fits all. And what we try to do is that if the standard is implemented, yes or no, or whatever form of electronic format that you have, be it a PDF, be it an email, be it a structured email, be it a flat file, or be it an API, send it to us, throw it at us, we will consume it, we'll make sense of it, we'll find out who this message is supposed to be delivered. Now, when I say who this message is supposed to be delivered, that becomes tricky because you need to have proper KYC, you need to have make sure absolutely that this message is for Mike or somebody acting on behalf of Mike and not to the entire Right. universe of customers, and then get a message back from Mike saying that, thank you very much, and now I'm good to go. So yes, we are creating a monster network of APIs and messages that's going through, yeah.
Right. And if I've got that right, you know, there's the obvious component, which is anecdotally, you don't want to tell somebody, hey, a box of Samsung TVs is available for pickup, right?
Like, absolutely.
Don't announce the world. Anybody want to go get it?
Yeah.
It feels like that would be problematic. And then
you just pay.
And to your point of
yeah, you just pay $1,000 and the box is yours, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, hey, listen, for this quick invoice, it's all yours.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just $1,000. Yeah.
And then the other component of that, of course, is, you know, like you phrase, I love the way you phrase it, to say, look, I tell Mike this box is available. Mike needs to confirm. I'm the guy to go get it, right?
Absolutely.
There's that In most of shipping, it's actually almost all communication is a dual transaction. You got this one? Question mark. You know, yes, I've got it. Thumbs up. Which is why EDI comes in. And it's funny, as you were talking about, you know, everybody, certain companies have their own flavor of EDI. And for folks who don't know, EDI, if you think of like when you go to your doctor in the US and they say, okay, here are the 19 hurdles you have to go through in order to get access to your health record. That's generally speaking analogous to EDI. It's clunky by design. It implements human touch points to say, hey, are you who we think you are, et cetera, et cetera. But this isn't like Apple and Google and Microsoft, where there are three variations of it. Last I heard, you know, every EDI form has basically 2,500 variations. So you're throwing darts at a dartboard, hoping to God that the shipper that's sending you an EDI order is somehow using one of the same flavors as you. Otherwise, you're bringing in a custom programmer, or you're logging on to the ODEX platform. Is that fair?
Yes, that's absolutely right. I just want to talk about a small story that happened like a month back. So there was a consignment which went from UAE to Jordan, Middle East, very close by, not very far. The consignment got confiscated in Jordan, and by customs or by local Ministry of Interior, and they wanted to know everybody who touched this container and who paid for this container. So when this message came into the UAE, so we are live in UAE, so the ocean carrier came to us and said that, hey, can you give us this information? I need this like in like, you know, by the end of day today. I'm like, okay, fine, give us an hour, let us check what happened. And in an hour we were able to say, okay, this is your shipper that you already know, but then this shipper handed off this container to XYZ agent. This XYZ agent approached you and he got an invoice for it. And these are the supporting documents that he's the agent. Then he paid for it. And in his organization, it was Mike who paid for it. And then this container moved here and so on. So when it comes to logistics and going to a country which is completely unknown, such kind of curveballs keep coming. And you need today a system which wherein you are able to make all these connections and say that who are all these 30, 40 organizations who touched us. So that's one story that I kind of try and tell people about what value we bring in this whole interaction. Yeah. So that's something that on the EDIs, you explained it very well, that there are 2,500 variations and it's my bread and butter as of now. Yeah.
Understood. So, but one of the questions I try to bring in or try to ask every guest, and I love your approach because, you know, you said you're kind of from the outside of the industry, saw this big challenge and said, let's go tackle it in a way people haven't. If you're talking to somebody who's younger, maybe, you know, recent new college grad thinking about this industry, what advice would you give them?
I would say, I was watching one of your earlier podcasts, Sean. I forgot his last name. He does something cool where
Sean Jones.
Yeah. So the funny part is he is also in logistics. I am also in logistics, or rather ODEX is also in logistics. It is such a vast industry. And the biggest, one of the most notorious polluters, if you could say, we are in the limelight. So we're not very environment friendly, to be honest. So I would say that for somebody who's young and wanting to get in, one of the biggest things that you can contribute is on the whole change that is happening, to be able to make this whole industry and this, and in turn to be able to make the whole buying, selling, or the trade to be a little bit more environment friendly. So that's one big opportunity that I see that's there. It need not be fancy stuff like putting up ships with sails or things like that. It can be a very simple thing that for every container that moves on the ocean, if you're able to save one printout or one trip of even a car or a person, that adds up very quickly. And that's a huge impact. And a lot of the impact that you see today is measured on how much a ship is polluting or how much the ancillary industries are polluting. Nobody really counts on the environmental impact of so many people moving around on so many moves, which could be avoided. And that's one small thing I feel that today's younger generation appreciates. They know the importance of it more than, I'm on the wrong side of 40, more than our generation. I think my cousins who are in their 20s understand this very, very well. And I think that's where we need that young blood to come in and say, why did you print this? You know, why did you make this trip? So it's, we need a paradigm shift in thinking. And the opportunity is huge because, like Sean said, 80, 90% of the world's cargo moves on ocean carriers. So the opportunity to be able to find your niche and work a lifetime to, you know, set that right so that the next generation has it better. I think there are hundreds of such niches in this industry that are waiting to be disrupted. And plus, of course, every disruption, there's an opportunity to make a lot of money. So yes, so that's my message to somebody who's younger, who's saying that, should I consider supply chain as a career? And the other thing that I think this industry can give you is scale and the whole outlook towards a global, global perspective, wherein you know that there is a conflict in Red Sea, because you work in this industry. You know why the conflict happens and who's fighting against whom and when the ship is going to get rerouted. That's information that usually you would be like, there's some corner of the world, there's a fight happening. But as a supply chain specialist, you will know why this is happening, because you need to figure out that, will this conflict end in 1 month, 1 year, 2 years? You need to have your own opinion. So I think it gives a fantastic global perspective. Even the junior most people in my team, I think they have a great global perspective of what's happening, because they can tell you what's happening in South Africa, in the US, in Canada, in Latin America, in Australia, because of the connection to shipping. So I think it's a fantastic career option. There's so many niches waiting to be disrupted, and yes, in turn, make a lot of money. Yeah, so why not?
Absolutely. But if somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do so?
LinkedIn, email. Yeah. So,
got it.
Yeah. Perfect. And I usually respond within a day.
Awesome. But I Tapio, COO and co-founder of Odex. I'm so grateful for your time today. Thanks for joining the show, my friend.
Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks. It was a pleasure. Thanks.